Galatians chapter 6. We'll only be in Galatians a couple of more times. I'm going to try to go ahead and get down to verse 10 tonight, Galatians chapter 6. And then after verse 10, really all we have is Paul's concluding remarks. There's some great remarks, but this is kind of the end of the discussion that he's been, the Lord's been presenting here in this book. And so it's very important. Remember, it is a conclusion, in a sense, of what he's been saying all along. Galatians chapter 6. When you read a verse in the Bible, very important to understand why it's there. And not in grand detail. You may not understand all the details of why it's there, but God put every verse in the Bible for a reason. Amen? When you have a section in the Bible, like we're going to see tonight, about sowing and reaping, we know a lot about sowing and reaping, and we tend to immediately equate that to soul winning. But in the Bible, every time you see the word sow, it doesn't necessarily first apply to soul winning. It may also apply to that. But be very careful not to give a verse the context that you like. Let the Bible give that verse a context. Amen? For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talks about the baptism for the dead, the Mormons take that verse out of context and make it mean something which it doesn't mean at all. If you understand what the chapter is about, it makes perfect sense why it's there. So tonight, I want to remind you before we get started that these verses on sowing and reaping, undoubtedly they're applicable to soul winning. But before that, think about the context of the book that Paul has been teaching the Galatians that they have bought into. They have been deceived and they have been tricked into believing a false gospel. A gospel which requires keeping the law in order to maintain the grace of God. And that context is important, and I'll try to explain how this would fit into that in just a minute. And then there's a context in this chapter, because the chapter in chapter 6 and verse 1 begins with a very clear instruction that we are to restore those who are overtaken in a fault. And so he's giving instructions on how we're to do certain things here in Galatians chapter 6. And then he comes to the point to where he says that we're going to reap what we sow. Now, again, no question about it. We're going to reap what we sow in the area of soul winning. Amen? Amen. We're going to reap what we sow in the area of prayer. Those that pray little will see few answers. We're going to reap what we sow in the area of how we raise our children. We're going to reap what we sow in the area of how we handle our finances. We're going to reap what we sow in the area of how we serve God. And the service to God that I think is primary here in chapter 6 is how we deal with one another. In fact, there is a comment I'll show you in just a minute in verse 10 that really makes that rather clear. But I want to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I just want to read a few verses here, and we'll have a word of prayer. And the title of the message is, What Stops Crops? What Stops Crops? And kind of a tongue twister, but easy to remember. Begin reading in Galatians chapter 6. I'll read out loud as you follow along in verse 7. The Bible says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have, as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this gathering. God, help us never to take it for granted. You said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're there in the midst. Lord, tonight we started out just having some fun, singing some Christmas carols. And Lord, it just rejoices our heart and it encourages us to pause and think about the tremendous victory that began when the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And we think about the joy of Christmas, the gift of eternal life, and your goodness to us, and how nothing can stop that. We even sing this song that says, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded. And we know that our eternity is certain because of your promises. Lord, thank you for all those things. And now tonight, as we spend a few moments looking in these verses, God, I lift these people up to you. I ask you to be a blessing to them through this simple message. Help them to be indeed stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day with tremendous amounts of fruit that they could show to give glory to Jesus for the things that you have done for them, that they can lay these crowns at his feet one day and say that these are because of his love for them. Lord, I pray help each of us tonight to just understand what's here and to see it plainly, and be a blessing to those that are away from us tonight. Care for them, bring them back to us safely, and meet their needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What stops crops? Well, I got to ask you some questions here. We won't be long, but the first question is this. What was your latest crop? Now, again, I'm looking at the verses on sowing and reaping. Have you got any crops out there that you've brought in? Amen. We sing bringing in the sheaves. What have you got in the barn already? Some of us here, older than others, been around for a while, and we've had enough time in our life. We've done some sowing. We've done some reaping. Amen? You led souls to Christ. You've seen Christians encouraged. You've taught a Sunday school class. Any of you ever work with 3- and 4-year-olds? 3- and 4-year-olds. Amen? How many of you work with 3- and 4-year-olds that are now grown? Yep, that makes me feel old too. But you sowed some things there, didn't you? Amen? And now you got some crops already in the barn, you know? But what was your latest crop? Well, let me ask another question. What do you got in the field? What have you planted that you're waiting on to come in? What crop are you tending to right now? You know, we ought to have something going. Amen? Amen? I want to stand before the Lord one day, and I don't want him to look back on my life and just see a barren wasteland with nothing but dirt and no fruit. Nothing but leaves and no harvest. I want to stand before the Lord one day with something to show him for the love he's shown for me. What is it that you have in the field right now? Another question might be, how much do you have planted? In other words, are you got a big crop in the field or a little crop in the field? How much do you have going? You know, it doesn't hurt to have a couple of fields going. Talked to a farmer one time. I was up, in fact, I was at my dad's funeral in Montana, and there was this fellow there, and he was just the most simple fellow. I mean, you'd think he worked at, you know, just a simple job. He didn't really seem to be a very technical man, and I asked him, I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a farmer. I said, oh, really? I said, what do you farm? He said, 5 sections. That's 5 square miles. And turns out this fellow has got, I mean, enormous wheat crops, and he's got, you know, people working for him. And you know, if you had 5 square miles, you'd want to plant them all. Amen? Amen? Unless the government paid you not to. But you'd want to have a lot going. Do you and I not have fields around us that we can be planting in, and crops that we can be tending? And we ought to have something going, because, folks, our life's like a vapor. Appears for a little time, vanishes away. And I have encouraging, really good news for you. If you say, Pastor, I can't think of anything that I have harvested yet. I can't think of anything that I have in the field yet. I can't think of any crop that I'm tending that's about to come in. I just really don't have any of that. I have great news for you. It's not too late to start. Amen? You know, this last year, for example, I didn't do any gardening at all. I just planted a couple of trees, and I haven't grown any vegetables, or I've grown any flowers. I used to grow all sorts of flowers in Maryland, and a lot of flowers, and didn't do any of that this year. And I got to thinking, you know, maybe I want to start some of that next year. Well, praise the Lord, around here you can start it whenever you want to. Amen. It's not too late to start. With the Lord, it's not too late to start. Amen. All right, so let's look at this real quick tonight. What stops crop? First of all, I want to remind you of something simple, a simple concept, but important to understand. Sowing, he says in verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth. Sowing is doing something that produces a harvest. There is deliberate sowing, and then there's accidental sowing. Or unintentional sowing, I might say. The problem is, sometimes as we go through our life, if we're not sowing things for the Spirit, we're sowing for the flesh. Got to be careful about that. But I don't know anybody that goes out and plants weeds in their yard. Anybody here do that? No, I don't think so. In the first place, they come up on their own. In the second place, I don't want weeds. So when we sow, we want something profitable to come from that, right? And sowing is just the act of doing something that produces a harvest. Now, I could ask questions here, and I'm just really on the edge of doing that. But as a Christian, what are some of the ways that we can sow, and I want to use the right terminology from the Word of God tonight, to the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit. What are some ways we can do that as a born-again Christian? Think about that question for a second. What are some ways you can sow to the Spirit? Now, I'll steal a few of the easy ones, all right? When you give out the Word of God, you're sowing, amen? Amen. You can hand out a tract. You can tell somebody about the Lord. You can knock on their door and witness to them. When we dispense the Word of God, we are sowing. But out, let's say, past soul winning, after we talk about soul winning, what are some other ways that we can sow? Now, think with me for a minute. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, he talked about restoring someone, didn't he? Would it not be true that if you restored a Christian back to their proper place with the Lord, and they went out and planted some crops, that you'd get credit for some of those crops, wouldn't you? Amen? So one of the ways that we can sow is by restoring someone. In fact, just plainly stated, if you think about this, as you and I encourage one another, as you and I pray for one another, as you and I care for one another, you say, Pastor, I don't think anybody cares about me. That's okay. Just care for other folks. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord cares for you. Amen? But other folks care for you. But as you and I care for one another, and as we strengthen each other, we're sowing, because what we're doing is we're putting each other in a position to where we can reach souls for Christ. It strengthens our church. It gets the Word of God out, and therefore people get saved. Okay? So sowing isn't just dispensing the Word of God to the lost, but it certainly is. That certainly is a major part of it. Now, there are some questions we might want to ask ourselves. For example, what are we sowing? Another question might be, are we still sowing, or have we grown weary and stopped? Another question might be, what are the opportunities we're taking to sow, or are we looking for opportunities? And those are three things I want to zero in on. Won't be but about 10 minutes or so here. The question is, what stops crops? And number one is this, sowing the wrong thing. Pretty simple. If I want a crop, then I need to plant the right kind of seed, don't I? Look in the Bible and you'll see what I'm talking about here. He says in verse 8, or verse 7, he says, whatsoever a man soweth, in verse 7, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now just listen carefully or this is going to confuse you. Verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault. We're talking about a local church or a group of local churches where people were teaching wrong things. And it's easy for us to get angry when someone makes a mistake, isn't it? When someone does something wrong, some of the times what we do is we just say, well, they shouldn't have done that, and we get mad about it. Let me ask you this, is anger flesh or spirit? Flesh, amen? The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, James 2:10, I believe it is. And we know good and well that the flesh, that the works of the flesh, one of those works is that malice and that wrath that the flesh has. So we can respond to other Christians by sowing the wrong thing. Soft answer turneth away wrath, amen? Things like that are the right thing to sow. What are you and I sowing towards one another is a good question. Now, I'm going to back up and be a little more general than that. He says, sowing to the flesh in verse 8, he says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Here's a simple application of that. In the first place, let me just clarify what it means to sow to the flesh. What is it that the flesh would like? We have this down pat. We know this. The flesh, some of this is not bad in and of itself, but if we focus on it, it can be bad. The flesh likes rest. Now, the flesh likes rest, but I know good and well it's possible to rest too much. You're saying, Pastor, I've never known that experience. Well, it is possible. It's good to be working, amen? And if you just rest all the time, you'll find out it's not good at all. The flesh likes food, and eating is fine unless you get carried away. The flesh likes recreation. The flesh likes pleasure. The flesh likes riches. The flesh likes itself. The flesh is proud. The flesh, if you gave it the choice, if the flesh got a vote, forgive or don't forgive, the flesh would say, don't forgive. Don't get mad, get even. That's what the world says. Unforgiveness is flesh. Vindictiveness, getting even, is flesh. Now, all those things, if you sow those, what are you going to get? Garbage. When you stand before the Lord one day, you're going to have nothing to show for that. Let's say, for example, and this has happened to people. I've known of people this has happened to. I knew a fellow in Utah that he got obsessed with money, and he spent every waking minute making money, making money, making money, making money. He didn't have time to go soul winning. He didn't have time to be in church sometimes because he was too busy making money. He's going to have maybe a whole lot of money. You say, wow, Pastor, he'll die a wealthy man. And what good is that going to do him when he stands before the Lord? I told you my story, and I won't tell it again, about how I used to go camping and collect firewood, and it dawned on me, I'm spending too much time collecting firewood. Just ought to enjoy camping and would not waste my time collecting firewood because I leave it for somebody else. When you go and you make a bunch of money, you leave it for somebody else. And that's not what the Lord's asked us to do. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. I hope it's not something you oversimplify and just push off to the side. It's a fact. A lot of the sowing that we have done is not going to produce an eternal result. And so that would stop the crop if you sow the wrong thing. The question is, are we sowing things that have spiritual value? Let me ask you some questions here. Does it have spiritual value to pray for somebody? Amen? Be sure to be doing that. Does it have spiritual value to encourage somebody? When's the last time, and I know you folks are pretty good about this, and near as I can tell, but we keep in touch with each other? Let me just try something this week and see what happens. Just pick somebody in church, particularly if they're going through something, but maybe they're not. Pick somebody in church and just pray for them and send them a text message and say, hey, I've been praying for you. Now, I'm sure that would really ruin their day, right? No, that's a spiritual thing, amen? It's not hard, but it does require that we be deliberate, and that's really a key here to producing. We have to be deliberate in order to sow and to have some kind of a result. If you're sowing the wrong thing, if you're always... Now, here's a really important word here. It says in verse 8, soweth to his flesh. And it's funny how we tend to want to take care of ourselves is what he's saying. If I spend time taking care of myself in excess, then what I'm going to have is corruption. Nothing that's going to last, nothing that's going to have any value in eternity. If I sow to the Spirit, then I'll reap life everlasting. By doing the things that encourage one another, by just getting the Word of God out, by being faithful to church, by praying for other folks, by helping out folks when they need help and so forth, especially those of the household of faith, by restoring people that have fallen in a mistake of some sort, some kind of a fault, verse 1, by doing those kind of things, we reap life everlasting. Just simplify this. Why are we here? Did God put you here in this world to struggle and work as hard as you can just to barely survive? Is that why God put us here? I don't think so. The fact of the matter is, I think God promised to meet our needs when we take care of His needs, amen, or His desires, His will. So God didn't put us here to struggle and strive and just have to do all we can to barely survive. That's not the goal at all. First thing that stops crops is sowing the wrong thing. just a footnote on that. There's an interesting statement in verse 7. He says, God is not mocked. You think, how could you mock God? You ever had somebody tell you you're wrong and you know you're right? That kind of frustrates me a little bit. Somebody says, I remember one time I was doing a job, and it was a complicated computer job, and I had this very complicated process, and I'd get it working just right, and then a fellow would come along and change it and break it. I had to go back and fix it and make it work right. He'd come along and change it and break it. And I finally had to meet with our boss and say, look, what I'm doing works. Make him leave it alone. No, he said, that won't work. You don't know what you're doing. Do you realize that sometimes in an indirect way, we can tell God he doesn't know what he's doing? That's mocking God. Listen to me, just for the record, just in case you didn't know, and God's being polite here, but he's being direct. You say, I'm not going to do it God's way, I'm going to do it my way. I just want you to know, our way doesn't work. Amen? God's way always works. That's the great thing. We sit here as born-again Christians, and we have the instruction manual right here. We have the promises right here. And God says, if you will sow to the Spirit, you will reap. The devil says, nah, you're not going to reap. Don't waste your time. Now, I would not plant a crop if I knew it wasn't going to come up, would you? No. But if God promises that you will reap, let's go plant. Amen? Well, one of the things that's going to stop us is if we're sowing the wrong thing. And then I've already started the second one. I'll be quick here. Sowing that ceases will also prevent a crop. What stops crops? Sowing the wrong thing or sowing that stops? If you stop sowing, you're not going to reap. Now, there's interesting things there in verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I just want to begin with this thought. It's a group effort. Amen? Aren't you glad you're not in it by yourself? Well, you couldn't possibly be because the Lord said he'd never leave you or forsake you. But I kind of like going out in groups. One of the things I really have enjoyed here at Vision is getting the popsicles and going down the street giving away popsicles. And it would be a lot less enjoyable if it was just me and the popsicles. I like it when it's me and a whole bunch of people and lots of popsicles. Amen? And when the people see us coming, and what are those crazy Baptists doing with popsicles? They're pulling ice chests. It's hot. We got that part figured out. But what's going on here? Why would they do this? And there's a whole bunch of us. I just really feel good with you folks going out doing that. Amen? And then the end result, having the auditorium full of children and having the gospel preached. And don't forget, we got to have a speaker this summer and getting the gospel out and souls getting saved. And Brother Hickson wearing a big floppy hat and all those fun things. I like that. And that all is because we work together. It's a we thing, not a me thing. Amen? So when you stop sowing, it's just one less person in the field. It discourages the others. But if we all stop sowing, I mean, the obvious result is going to be no crop. He says, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, one simple thought there, and I'm going to run out of time if I'm not careful. Look at verse 9. He says, let us not be weary. He didn't say endure weariness, did he? He said, don't be weary. You say, well, I don't understand, Pastor. When I work, I get tired. You're going hunting, right? Don't you get tired of hunting? Why? Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm so weary, I'm not going to go hunting. Well, I might be physically tired. That's not a great illustration. But, you know, if somebody said the other day we ought to go fishing, and I thought, yeah, that sounds like fun. I never really get tired of fishing. I like free fish. And not that you can call it that after you buy the bait and the tackle and the boat and all that good stuff. But anyway, I enjoy fishing. You know what? We ought to enjoy fishing for the souls of men. Amen? I can tell you this, I know at least one man in this room, and he never is ever going to get weary of telling people about the gospel, Mr. Hickson. You ought to go with him sometime. I mean, he and I have got it down to pretty good teamwork there. He needs to get that going with some other folks. Or I'll go with me and somebody goes with him, we have twice as many people going out. It's not a question of being weary. It's a question of, it's sort of like, imagine Christmas morning and you're sitting around opening Christmas presents and someone says, yeah, I'm tired of opening Christmas presents. Keep the rest till next year. No, we're going to keep opening these things. Amen. Till they're all gone. We ought to keep reaping until the Lord comes back. Amen. It's not something to be weary of. If you're weary, you've already got a problem. The devil has convinced you that the result is not exciting. The result is exciting. You need to lead somebody to Christ. Every time somebody comes forward and gets saved, that just makes it that much easier to preach the next time and that much more excitable, and it's just the way it ought to be. Don't get weary. Sowing that ceases stops the crop. Finally, and I'm done, look at verse 10. What stops crops? Well, number one, sowing the wrong thing. Sowing that ceases. And then missed opportunities is the third thing that stops crops. Look at verse 10. He says, as we have, that right there is a great word. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, two or three things there and I'll be done. First of all, if you look a little, just look a little, you'll see some opportunities to sow. Tonight, there's some people that aren't in church. Some of them couldn't be here. Some of them just aren't here. We need to do good to them and encourage them to come back. Amen? That's an opportunity. It's not just the opportunities we have to hand out tracts, but it's the opportunities we have. Look at the phrase there. He says, to do good unto all men. Sometimes we're so busy dealing with the world, we forget to be kind to each other. We need to be kind to each other, amen? We went to visit Linda on Monday. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Monday. We went to visit Linda on Monday. How many other people visited her? Mike, several did, didn't they? Nine. Is this a problem? No. This is the way it's supposed to be, amen? And that's good, and I commend you all for going, and nobody told you to go, you just went. And that's because we care for each other, and that encourages one another. That's what makes a church strong, is when we do things like that. So do good. Seize the opportunities. You know, you don't plant in the winter. I know in Arizona we have no idea what winter is, but that's when it's cold and the ground freezes. We don't plant in winter. That's not the opportunity. But when we have the opportunity, take it. If we don't take it, we're not going to have crops. And remember, especially to them who are of the household of faith. It's not that God cannot sustain us. It's not that God cannot get us through. But it sure does help when we're all on the same team. Amen? It sure does help when we all love each other. Say, Pastor, I don't see it quite the way you see it. Well, you know, I'll do the best I can to accommodate you, and at some point in time, we may just have to agree to love each other. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor, sometimes people are not nice to me. I know, sometimes you're not nice to people. We're all that way. But we ought to be good as God allows us to the household of faith. And I really believe the context here, the primary context is this. Let's not toss aside that Christian that got caught up in a fault. He's a child of God. He's a part of our family. Let's go get them and bring them back too. Amen. That's really the kind of sowing he's talking about here. Sowing to the flesh would be to say, they deserve it. You know, they've skipped church so many times. They obviously don't love God. So who cares about them? That's sowing to the flesh. Sowing to the Spirit says, Christ died for them. I love them. He loves them. Let's see if we can't bring them back. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.